Hello everyone, it's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is April the 23rd, 2020, and today we wanted to talk about just how to keep moving forward. We're in, it seems like about week six now of the pandemic or coronavirus, at least a lockdown in California. Different states have had different schedules with all of that, but we're, I call it BC and AC, a life before Corona and after Corona.
Yeah.
And want to look at, how to keep our businesses moving forward. And I know some of you have been in the program for a while, some are just starting, and that's great. And so the purpose of these calls, of course, is to, present some material here, some training, and then to answer your questions and to, kind of have a group mastermind here about how we, and brainstorm with ideas to keep moving forward and to support each other in our coaching practices. So today, and then we always have these calls, second, fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one would be, I may have one next week that happens to be a fifth Thursday of the month on the 30th. So I'll announce that next week. I may have one on the 30th also, since there's a fifth Thursday. And the next month will be in May already, May 14th and then May 28th. You can add to your calendar if you like. So today I wanted to talk about, steps you can take for your coaching success and, right now and then looking forward, checklists that you can give to your athletes for them to, survive and thrive through this period and just looking at what athletes need most right now during the pandemic period and then looking forward. Because oftentimes people get stuck in just thinking this is the way it's going to be, but we need to keep looking forward to a brighter future here. And teaching athletes how to be centered and how to stay calm and how you can become calm in the storm before, for your clients, how you can stay calm and centered, and what message you can give them to attract new clients during this time. And then, just a way to check in with your own thoughts and feelings now as a coach. And then we'll talk about some of the topics that we talked about last time, but talk in more depth about things, telehealth coaching and how you can help your athletes adapt. And also, with this program, we also talk about performers of all sorts. If you have, I'm a musician as well, so, working with musicians, dancers, people in business, athletes who are test-taking, those are all performance-oriented activities also. So anybody that is needing help with performance anxiety, mental training can benefit from this kind of work. So you could think about working with, branching out, if you like, into different areas there, too, of performance. But, and then we'll just talk about how phone sessions or Skype or Zoom sessions are, really well-suited to what we're going through right now when everyone is sheltering in place and that you're more needed now than ever, I think, and that social distancing is kind of built into what we do. You can work with people in person, of course, in our practice that's, in your office if you're doing social distancing, but especially right now, phone and video calls are really good for this, and so you can really, you can be able to provide hope and encouragement for people. So, and talk about that anxiety piece also, and how there's uncertainty. Anxiety feeds on uncertainty, and so there's so many things that we are uncertain right now. But how to help your athletes and your clients identify what you can control or what you can change, how you can be creative and resourceful in this time. So, and then the emotional effects, of course, of what school closures and everything that's going on in the world right now, and how to kind of find a new normal here. So, first just check in with each of you and how any questions you have. And how you are doing in this time period. And George, well, since both of you are newer to the program here, do you want to just introduce yourself first? George, were you, are you there?
Yeah,
where
I'm
are you from? Just and let's see, what area you're in, what kind of athletes you're working with, that sort of thing.
So I am in Oklahoma and Texas.
Can you speak up just a little bit or turn up your volume?
Sorry, can you hear me better now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. So I am in Oklahoma and Texas. My background in sports is in professional hockey. Right now I deal with hockey players and just trying to introduce them to the mental part of the game and just being prepared and stuff. So I've started that about a couple years now, a little over 2 years. So just looking to kind of learn a few more things and continue to work with those type of players. I'd like to expand beyond hockey, but right now I'm just dealing primarily with hockey players.
Okay. Yeah, great. And does that continue, the hockey season continue at this time or normally?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, so for youth kids, this is a big disruption for them because this is generally their time of year to understand or get to know where their placement is for next year. So this is the time of year where there's generally identification camps, tryouts, selection camps, things like that that generally take place through the spring. So this is a big disruption, right? So there's a lot of uncertainty for a lot of them, understanding, you know, what's going to happen to them next year. And they're getting into the age, at least the athletes that I'm working with, that, you know, are trying to pursue a scholarship or advance their career. They're getting to the age where you know, the next couple of years are very important to where they're going to end up. So, you know, them trying to deal with that uncertainty, it's a little bit unsettling for them, right? So, you know, just trying to get them to start thinking about the things that they can control and actually looking at this as possibly an advantage to them, because if they use this time correctly with their training and their preparation, when things do open up, they might be more prepared and have a competitive advantage over some of the other kids that didn't take as much advantage of this time, right? So trying to make this an opportunity rather than a setback.
Right, I love that. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, and a great way to reframe it for them, because a lot of kids probably just might give up during this time. They can think about it as, yeah, their competition might be giving up or slacking off or not or losing interest in the sport. Whereas, yeah, it might give them an opportunity to work on their weaknesses, open up, and do some. You know, work on their form, work on things that they can work on, they work on the mental game, of course, that we can help them with during this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
It's just challenging because it's been disruptive, right? So, you know, you got to find unique ways to kind of find ways to train since gyms are closed, you know, access to certain things that you might have had in the past. So it's disrupted routines and everything else, but again, kind of, you know, kind of trying to be creative and provide an atmosphere that, you know, and let them participate in what that is, right? And kind of move towards letting them understand how what they're doing now, the actions that they're taking now is actually continuing to help them still move towards their ultimate goal.
Right, exactly. What you choose to do now, and what you do and what you don't do. You know, a lot of people, athletes, tend to maybe overeat or not work out enough or get frustrated, and so those kind of things can be a setback. Whereas, if you can be creative and find ways to stay in shape, even if you can't work out as a team. Yeah, you could find yourself ahead of the game. It's like athletes that train in the off season doing something, you know, come back on the on season much stronger. So, yeah, thanks, George. Yeah, and you look at this period as a way to, you know, ask, okay, how can I come back when things do open up? How can I come back even stronger, an even stronger athlete and a stronger person? Yeah. So thanks. Great. And Dr. Tom, are you there? Can you want to
share? Yes, I am.
Introduce yourself also to George here and to us and other people, I think, that are on the call that, you know, say traveling and they're on mute kind of thing. So just introduce yourself to the group, yeah, and what you're going through with this pandemic period too.
Sure. Yeah, it's great to have George on. George is a former hockey player, grew up in Detroit. I understand what you're going through and also know that hockey players are extremely superstitious, so I'm sure you're dealing with some of that as well.
There's a lot of routine and superstition plays a big part of it, yes.
Yeah, so, but there's so many good things in the mental training, but I came, I was...
Where are you?
I'm currently in Spearfish, South Dakota, which is in the Black Hills, and I'm volunteering at the Black Hills State University with the athletics program. We're a Division II school and primarily working with the football players and the volleyball team, but I am available to all athletes, both as a counselor. I'm a professional counselor and have been for 20-plus years. Before I came out here, I was working with the Division III NAIA school who just started a football program, so I've been working with the athletes, primarily football players, but again, was available to all other sports as a counselor and did a lot of mental game things with them and with the rest of the athletes as I'm doing here at BH. The biggest challenges we have here is, of course, we're ending the semester, and so our students are all online, and that's been stressful for a lot because a lot of our students are used to having a professor right in front of them. In fact, right before your call, Dr. Joanne, I got a referral from one of our vice presidents that I need to call a student who's having a very difficult time adjusting to the end of the semester and all the, you know, usually professors freak out because they have so many days left and they haven't gotten this chapter done or that chapter done, so the pressure pours on. Yesterday, I talked to an international student who can't go home, and so we're dealing with that, but the biggest challenge among the others, big ones, is we have an entire new football coaching staff who came in towards the end of the spring this past year. And the poor guy hasn't had the guys on the field at all yet. And so I've been trying to contact him weekly just to check to see how he is, but I haven't gotten a return phone call from him. He's an advocate for the mental game and mental training. He's very complimentary when he's doing interviews and newspaper articles of the mental game and what I'm trying to do, but I haven't heard back from him. So I'll keep trying, but we do have a very active strength and conditioning coach, and we also have a very active leadership group, football players, that we are meeting with, Zooming with, and I've been sending out each week I send articles based on some of the things that you have in your book, Dr. Joanne, and other people. In fact, yesterday was a webinar on the coaching mind. I have it written down. It's a Champion's Mind by Dr. Afremo. And so I take notes about all these things that I have available and send out thoughts for our athletes to think about, like relaxation or visualization or whatever. But we have coaches that are brand new, and so we've been trying to work with them. Thank goodness, like I said, we have a very active conditioning, strength and conditioning coach who is great for the mental game, and so he's set up virtual competitions. They have, this may be something that might help, George, but we have platoons, and each one is led by one of the leadership guys, and the leadership is made up of freshmen and seniors, both from offense and defense. But each platoon is given a challenge, and if they meet the challenge, they get so many points, et cetera. Well, one of the issues that came up from the council guys was, how can we trust them? How can we, you know that they're doing these things? So we had some discussions and articles that were sent out on – trusting your teammates, which that would be a good one, Dr. Joanne, is talking about if you're on a team, how do you know that your teammates are doing what they're supposed to do? So the virus is around, but South Dakota is sparse enough that, you know, it's been kind of good for us, if there is such a thing. But it's out there, and unfortunately some people have false beliefs about we're not going to catch it, and unfortunately that's not a good thing. Luckily, I have friends back in Aberdeen, where I came from, who run the 3M plant, so I scored myself some of the high-level masks, not because I wanted to, just because I don't want to get in trouble, but they just sent them along because they're great people and great friends, and they said they wanted us to have these masks. So sorry to babble, but we're not any different than anybody else. We are dealing with some very, very interesting and challenging issues.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Tom. And it's great that you're a counselor there also.
Yes.
A school counselor.
They also have the counseling center. I've been filling in part-time there too. So I do that in addition to volunteering up at the athletic center and spend the rest of my week and time there. So, but that's all been closed. So I've been working through our athletic director.
At the center, at what university or what
it's
college?
It's Black Hills State University. It's about a 4,000 or 5,000 student college. It's primarily business, but they have a strong Native American program. I just can't believe they don't have more students out here. It's I don't want to brag, but it's gorgeous out here in the hills. So,
oh yeah, well, I'll have to come up and visit you sometime.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, so that's good. So you're and school counselor is good background to have too. So yeah, thanks George and Dr. Tom for your sharing your backgrounds, and it sounds like you guys have things in common, and our students are going through a lot right now, and there's ways to, you can keep focusing on what we can't do, what's taken away. Of course, that's a tendency right away. It's important to acknowledge that from this pandemic, but also it's really a good time, important time to kind of retrain the brain to focus on what can I do? Yeah, how is this an opportunity? And how can I reinvent myself? How can I keep training? What can I keep training to keep moving forward? And it is a real challenge, and it's something that we can, I think really help. We have to kind of want to sort of give this particular talk today on two levels, doing these things for ourselves and then also for our athletes, because it's a sort of a two-level kind of thing. If we can model what we're doing, what we want our athletes to do, then that's even better. We can be working on ourselves and our practices too. Like, for instance, you might not be able to work with all the athletes that you want to right now, but you could. Well, you're both good at taking this course and working through the modules and getting those to me, and you're doing a good job with that, and I can give you feedback on those, and be reading the chapters and the materials in each of the modules here, and then being able to work, if you want, working on a website, we're using, say, WordPress.org is free, and you can do that sort of thing at home and not without interacting with people. But that's something that takes time, but can be something to work on right now. And then you can acknowledge, it's good to kind of, you can be so helpful to people, even with, say doing blog posts, or if you have social media, of course, YouTube videos, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, any of the ones that you use. A lot of kids are using TikTok now, I guess, also, which are short videos. So just being able to post things about what people are going through. And so, you could name things like, you know, just saying that not all kids respond to this stress we're going through in the same way. Some of the challenges to watch for, you could mention those are things like just people being irritable. If it's younger children, they may have more excessive crying, or not want to show the crying, but that it can be there, a lot of emotion, excessive worrying or sadness when they hear, you know, when they're focused too much on the news, or about, like you say, George and Dr. Tom, with wondering where am I going to be able to do these camps or tryouts to qualify for colleges. It's really critical time right now. So, but, you know, looking at that kind of thing and just kind of naming the things that people are going through, I think really helps them to understand that they're not alone. You might have people, athletes that are doing unhealthy eating, eating the wrong foods or too many of those, or unhealthy sleeping habits, like, you know, a lot of kids are on the phone way too much. They were on the phone way too much before, and now even more so, you know, social media and just too much texting and phone use. And if they're doing that right before going to sleep or sleeping with their phones, of course, we know that that's really disruptive to sleep. So talking about that, you know, like, for instance, I was working with this swimmer, and I just asked her about her sleeping habits, and she said she puts her phone right next to her, and she says, oh, because I need to use it for an alarm. But, of course, she just needed some education to show that there are other ways that you can just have an old-fashioned alarm clock, you know, and put it farther away and then turn off your phone. They're thinking that the phone has to be used for everything. And then, of course, the blue light from the phone and the radiation from the phone there and possible disruption, even if they, you know, sometimes, you know, the sounds that the phone makes at night, it's all just really disruptive to sleeping. And, for your body to, it's good to educate people, athletes, that to get for a full restorative effect, you know, with your body, your insulin system, your neuromuscular system, all these systems are needing to restore themselves overnight while you're sleeping. And so we really need at least 8 hours sleep. And it seems like the kids I've worked with, very few of them get that. Or if they do, it's disrupted sleep. So if you can encourage kids to put the phone in, actually, you know, use that button to power down the phone, which is a totally foreign concept to most kids, younger people. Oh, they don't even know where that button is, how to power down the phone. it's never been powered down. They just put it on mute or something, but powering it down is much better. I think about, you know, we're sleeping, we need to recharge our batteries. Same thing, the phone can be sleeping and reach, you know, not be in use for that time. And so, you know, just simple things like that can really help to improve when they get better sleep, and they're going to be able to, you know, think better during the day, use the time better. So, but just pointing out different things that are the kids, the people are, and adults too, are going through, things like, you know, poor school performance or avoiding school. Of course, now school is closed and kids are doing things online, and some kids like that, some kids hate that. And so it's, and some kids are really set up for online work and some are not. So it's a real adjustment. So it's important to find out if they are where they're having issues, or some, you know, poor kids in lower income may not even have their own, you know, computer or their own access to internet access or Wi-Fi, and so these you know, a lot of things are really disruptive there. Or they might have the quality of internet connection that they used to have at school, so they you know, can't access things as well. So it's important to find out how they can get those issues worked out, and so and be able to, you know, have them set up a routine. If they used to go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning, then, you know, try to get on the computer or get on, or if they're reading books, you know, start working on classes at the same time at home that they did at school. And I know it's a challenge for a lot of parents because they're having to suddenly do this homeschooling that they didn't know how to do before. So all of that is a big challenge. But having them do, you know, a balance between work, schoolwork, and then taking breaks, exercise. And with athletes, you know, you get your regular workout time that they normally did with a group. So now they can maybe do that on their own. They could do running or bicycling or doing a – yeah, we're a Zoom workout with a group, something. But then also, it's good, I think, throughout the day to do short little workouts just to, it helps you to maintain focus. As athletes, we need to move, right? And that's really important. So encouraging athletes to do something, I mean, even just going out for a quick walk every hour or doing some jumping jacks or burpees or push-ups for two or three minutes at different intervals through the day can help just get blood to the brain so that they can, and it also helps with mood as well, of course. So a lot of kids are having difficulty with attention and concentration, so it's important to point that out and let them know that they're not alone, that everybody's going through that situation and that they can that's something that you can help them to work on. Focus and concentration is part of our mental game, and that just like they are having to learn to focus while they're doing a group workout like they normally would, now they can learn to train their attention and train their focus while doing other things, like you know, simply like they can, if the news. You know, there's that old saying, if you don't like the news, go make some of your own. And so we can do that with, it's important to teach them to not just be listening to the news all the time, but it's okay to turn off the news, know what's going on, but then be able to make some of your own news, meaning, you know, do your own workout or make your own schedule, control the things that you can control, and you know, maybe make a focus challenge. Just say, let's see how long can I focus on this one thing, this one assignment or this one workout, and keep from getting distracted. So that could be a focus challenge, just like any other kind of workout would be. So those are some things. Other things, signs to look for are, unexplained headaches or because, they're often just too stressed. And so it's good to think about that. And often that can be just from sitting too long, from looking at a phone or computer too long, screens. We need to have that break of, you know, at least every hour to look up. Look away, 20-20-20 rule you may have heard of is look away for 20 seconds, look 20 feet in the distance, and then just take some deep breaths in between, and that can really help to avoid headaches. And then just asking your athletes what they are eating and drinking is important because a lot of athletes may be using eating too much sugar, eating too much fat kinds of stuff, or vaping is, you know, way too common these days in kids. And of course right now vaping, and they think vaping is cool, but it's when we've got this COVID-19 that is attacks the lungs and attacks the respiratory system, and then they've already got a compromised respiratory system, it's really adding to the issue. So I think it's good to, you know, just take some things you can do to help your athletes. Of course, is take time to talk about what they are going through, with this COVID-19 outbreak, and what like the losses that they're feeling, like you said, George, with athletes not being able to do their summer tryouts, and what that means to them. It's good. It's important for people to express their grief in some way. If they can talk to you about it, then it's better than they can express it. Then that can keep from having some of these other behaviors you know, come into play. So, yeah, just being able to express themselves that way, and then just talking about reassuring them that they are safe, and it's okay if they feel upset. You know, it's okay that they have these emotions, and answer questions that you have about, or that they may have about, you know, the pandemic or what they're going through, what you can, so that they can understand and so they get the right facts about things, not the misinformation. And then just be able to share with them how you deal with your own stress so that, you know, give an example so they can learn how to cope, you know, from, say, examples that you have given. So that's a good one to think about. So, yeah, that's a good question for me to ask you, Dr. Tom and George. How do you know, that could be something that you could share with athletes or with other people that you're working with. Identify, you know, how do you deal with your own stress and ways that you could share with athletes. What do you think, you guys? You could just jump in. Any ways that you deal with your own stress in a good way?
I have a tendency to listen to music, or I have two great dogs, so we go out in the backyard and do a lot of goofy things. Luckily, my neighbors are gone, so we can do goofy things and not be totally embarrassed. I do a little momentary meditations where, you know, I have a little system where I check where my breathing is and I check where my shoulders are, because if I'm stressed, they're usually up around my ears, so I bring my shoulders down, and then I sit and try to listen to as much as I can hear, and then just keep breathing. So I've shared some of those things with the athletes. Usually their response has been they listen to music, but unfortunately, a lot of the music would not be, in my estimation, relaxing, but to each his own, I guess. But that's what I do, or write.
Yeah, the hip-hop music is not the greatest relaxing.
No. Not at all.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Plus, a lot of it's so negative, complaining about things. But the music part in general is good. If we're I assume that we are all in an older age group where we had good music, right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. How could it
I'm
not
kind
be?
Of joking, but you know, where the music was more varied, and you could actually sing along with it and remember the words and all that. So, but it's good. So we were fortunate that way. But music is excellent. Yeah, I think it's a great way to get out of the left brain and into the right brain, and to sing along with it if you can, or dance. I put on music and go into the kitchen and dance while I'm making dinner, making something, or go outside. So, yeah, that's a great way to be able to get it. And just, you know, you can, and there's, of course, different music for different moods. You can have relaxing music, but to go to sleep is good. I would say avoid really fast, super energizing music right before you go to bed. And then, but during the day, if you've been sitting at your computer and you want to get up and re-energize, this is a good time to put on some energizing music, maybe with a beat to get you to be able to move more. And that can help you to move around and not just move the legs and the hips, but also the arms, and or do some little exercises to the music, you know, burpees or jumping jacks. I see my neighbors out front, like, taking a jump rope and doing a jump rope. That's great too. So yeah, and then playing with your dogs, say goofy stuff with the dogs is good. get you out of the out of such a serious mode, because dogs have no idea about coronavirus. They just want to have fun.
That's right.
They're not sheltering in place. Yeah. How about you, Dr. Tom? What do you do to reduce your stress or
George?
And things?
No, I think that was Dr. Tom. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Dr. Tom. Sorry.
You're good.
Yeah.
No, so, yeah.
Your voices sound similar.
So, sorry.
Okay. So George, are you there?
Yeah. So it really depends on what's causing the stress, right? So if it's immediate, generally it's, take a few deep breaths, kind of try and relax, think about, what you're going to say or how you're going to react before you do it. So, kind of try and relax right in the moment and give yourself a little bit of time. Just think positive thoughts, and turn anything that might have been stressing and try and reframe it in a positive way. I hate when this happens. Instead, I know how to deal with this. I've done it before, kind of thing, right? And just reframe it. And then if it's something that's ongoing, like the virus and the disruption, and you feel like, hey, over a period of some time, this is getting to me, I still feel like, the relaxation and calming your mind down is important. But better ways of maybe doing that or, take a walk, go for a drive, kind of do something that isn't necessarily a normal. So take a break, like you said, play with the kids, play a game, spend some family time, just try and do something that is a little takes you away from what it is that you were doing right off the bat. Walks I generally find calming and good. Physical exercise, getting out and doing something, I find relieves a lot of stress and allows you to kind of reframe things and think about it. Really that's kind of how I kind of look at it. So it depends, like I said, if it's immediate stress, then it's take a step back, do a few, breathing exercises, and then just try and reframe it from negative to positive. And if it's long-term, like something like this, then, again, still positive thoughts, but, take a break from the situation a little bit by, exercise, walk, or something along those lines. Some kind of activity. Some people like to draw, paint, create a scrapbook. Some people like to meet up with friends and do something a little bit different, just relaxing and fun. So something along those lines.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's good to have people do a hobby or create something, or if they already have that, if they're musicians, play their instrument,
yeah,
or draw something, or if they're not, then it's a good time to take up an instrument, or you can learn something new, something you always wanted to do. And it's a great time. Like for me, guitar is great, and you go online and any song I want to learn, I just put in the name of the song, and then guitar tutorial, YouTube video will come up on how to play that song. Amazing. And so, those are all really good things. It's good to have a strategy right away. And, with the short-term stress, that applies to giving talks. So we probably all have to give talks for either one person or a group sometimes. And so it's good to take a deep breath and realize and say to, rather than, oh, God, they're going to expect so much from me, or I don't know how this is going to go. Rather, it's good to say things like, I'm in the presence of my friends here. These are all my friends. Even if you don't know them, just saying they're my friends. They're all cheering for me. They want me to do well. They're here to learn, and I'm here to serve them. And so to just get out of yourself and be able to say, I'm here to help them give good information. They want the information I have. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, thanks. And
hey guys, Matt Pendola. I've been listening but traveling, so I didn't want to interrupt. But it was nice to hear. It's nice to hear both of your new voices, and love the input. I'm just wanted to share. I have a athlete. He's a professional baseball player, but he was really stressed out initially about this whole epidemic, and we just started talking about how he has a new baby on that he and his wife had a few months ago, and just the time that he can spend now with his family, and we just started to talk about what he can do. So similar things, but just going on those walks together and having some time in the morning where he reads to his son. And then even on the physical side of things, he's had a chance to really focus on his rehab. He's a pitcher, and he's had some issues from a prior surgery a few years ago. He's been a professional player for 13 years. So we just talked about how he'll actually be able to truly recover, respond, repair from a lot of his training and progressive overload that he's been going through for his shoulder, but able to actually really adapt and become more efficient so that he can improve that for his skill set, for his pitching, obviously. So it's giving him some extra time there. So in the last few weeks, he's been really actually super positive and psyched about everything he's been able to do, and he said he and his wife are closer than ever. And so, you know, silver lining things there. But on a personal note, I would say that the same is true for my family. I came to realize how much time I've been spending away from them, telling myself that it's more important that I build my business. And having that extra time with the family has been wonderful for us as well. It's a terrible reason, but at least we've got some good coming out of it.
Wow, that's
yeah,
totally
cool. That's great, Matt. And do you have any suggestions of how you deal with stress personally, or what you do about the stressful? Oh, I guess you answered that a little bit with time with your family, but
you know me, Dr. Delcater. I'm a I'm a runner at heart, so I've been getting lost in the mountains, and I've got a dog, Lily. She's my running partner, and you know, I put her bear bell on, and we go out there, and I do let my wife know what area I'll be going into. But I've been discovering new canyons and trails that I've only wondered where they go. And I've gone out for 3-4 hours of running, just not even worried about when I have to get back. Which, you know, don't get me wrong, I still am doing a lot on the business end of things, but it's just I don't have the same set schedule I had before. So it's just been really nice, and that's been so good for me to get back to the basics. I was telling my wife that I've given so much again, you know, of my self to over delivering for my athletes, that I forgot how much I love to just get out there and get lost, you know, running and just drawing with my daughter. I used to love to draw all the time, and now we draw about a half an hour or so in the mornings. It's just a thing that she loves to do. She loves to draw horses, and so I'm kind of teaching her how to draw. And you know, so the really been for me personally. And I guess on the physical side of things, though, I have that. I have some stress symptoms. You know, some of it's hereditary, like my blood pressure has always been a bit on the higher side. And then I have sometimes they call it crater tongue, where I have these deep grooves in my tongue, and it's stress related. And anything slightly hot or spicy would really pop and inflame it. And it's just basically from stress. My blood pressure has been normal, and my tongue is has gone back to normal in the last 5 weeks or so. which is just telling me that I was dealing with too much stress before. So a bit more sleep nowadays too, which is nice. So that'll about wrap it up. But those things have been really good in reminding me that I need to continue some of these helpful habits afterwards and continue these rituals that are working for us, you know.
Yeah, so you've got a happy tongue now. That's good.
Yeah.
A nice, yeah, thanks for sharing all that, Matt. Matt is up in Reno area, right? So, so that's
great. Yeah, Reno, near Lake Tahoe, yep.
Yeah, working with track athletes and all, too. So, yeah, it's great. We've got lots of areas of the country represented here. And so, it's really good to hear all of your ideas about handling the stress and coping. And same thing for myself. I, as a coach and athlete myself, just like you, Matt, and George and Dr. Tom, realize that, you know, we all probably are in this profession because we're athletes ourselves and love sports and love activities. And so I've been able to get out and do, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in a long time as a triathlete, swimming, biking, and running. And all the pools are closed now, of course, and you could say, so I can't swim. But because I'm close to the bay here, right on the bay, the first thing I did, right as the stores were closing on that very last day, Governor Newsom here announced California was, you know, going into a lockdown at midnight 6 weeks ago. I thought, I've got to run. What's my priority? I've got to run to the store, run to the sports basement here, our sporting goods store, and get a wetsuit. That was my priority because I didn't have a wetsuit because I knew all the pools were closed. And in order to be able to swim, the only place I could swim is in the bay or the ocean. And so I got a full wetsuit and booties and neoprene cap and gloves. So now I'm swimming in the bay every other day. And so that's a creative way of being able to say, okay, I can't do one thing. How can I substitute to do another thing? And at first it was very cold and my face got ice cream headaches and couldn't get my face in the water, but now I've adapted and it's fine. So and it's relaxing. I'm out there with the geese and the white egrets and the blue heron. It's just very out there in nature, something I would have never done if I was just in the pool all the time. and I'm training for an event called the Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon out here, which it's going to be June 7th, so that was giving me a goal to work toward. But now they just canceled it, of course, because of the pandemic, but we're all transferred to next year. So rather than get discouraged, I'll just think, okay, I'm training for it. I get another year to train for it, and I can still continue with that. So that's another example of being creative, being able to switch gears and still do the sport, but in a in another venue instead of do it in the bay and the ocean instead of in the pool. And the second thing I'm doing and suggestion for all of you is, order if you can't work out at a gym because they're all closed. Ask, okay, what can I do at home? And one of the best things is something like a TRX suspension trainer. I just ordered one, which is, you can go online to look. You probably know what that is, but it's those yellow straps that you have at the gym where you can do a really full workout. And so you can order them right through TRX. Suspension trainer, their website there, check it out if you want. Or there's similar kinds of brands too, probably, but I think theirs is the best one. And so, yeah, you get those, and all of a sudden, instead of having all this fancy equipment at the gym for strength and conditioning, you can really do a full workout with that one piece, those straps, and just hooking them up to a hook up above, and And then, you know, they send you emails about here's the workout for the day, and you're part of our TRX family, and feeling like you're in the TRX team, and you feel like you're kind of doing, not just working out alone, but kind of working out with the rest of the TRX folks. So that's kind of one example of using getting one piece of equipment like that that can really make a full workout. So, so those are some ideas for, being able to manage stress. Also, humor, I think, is really important to be able to find some time to laugh. And, there's a program, a radio program I listen to out here. It's NPR Radio, so you can get it anywhere. But on NPR Radio, they have a program called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, where they make fun of the news. So, you can listen to the replays on that anytime online. So, you know, for instance, they interviewed Tom Hanks last Sunday, who just recovered from the COVID-19. And he said, yeah, I did COVID-19. And they asked him, okay, so you're going to do the sequel now, COVID-20? So that was the joke. And he said, I've recovered, I have the antibodies, I want to do something to help, and so I want to give blood. So everyone was saying, oh my gosh, you get Tom Hanks blood. And he said, I want to really contribute here and with my blood and create a Hank scene instead of vaccine. So, just funny stuff like that is good to, I think, be able to laugh a little bit. So I think it's good to just be able to, one tip to have is talk it out with people, you know, your athletes, what they're going through, and then, consider how you want to continue engaging in your sport. You know, we've got to do the social distancing right now, but, you know, telling athletes you may be able to continue training to a certain degree in other ways. You can use your this different schedule to be able to rest, recover, or engage in your, like, for instance, my swimming client, she can't swim because the pools are all closed, she's not near any open water, and she said she hates running, but she started running now, now she really likes it, so she's, getting aerobic workouts through running workouts, and that's become really important to her. So, being able to do some other sport to keep that aerobic fitness up is really important. So, and then you can help them to, discover what else can I do here. So, just being able to say, and sometimes, it can be a real opportunity. You know, when I got back in the 80s, I won the San Francisco Marathon, and then I got injured, and my tibia got a stress fracture, couldn't run for 6 months, and so then I took up swimming and bicycling to be able to stay fit, and was just doing other sports. And then all at that time, the triathlon was just coming into focus, and so I thought, okay, well, now 6 months later, I can start running again, and I could put the three together. And then that led to being able to get second in the woman overall in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. That was in October 82. Some of you might have seen my video on drjoanne.com. You can see the 2-minute video on there on ABC Wide World of Sports coverage of that when I got second. And Frank Gifford is commentating, the legendary voice of Tom Gifford. It was so cool. And so it just gives an example of how I could take something where I couldn't do a sport and then and use it as an opportunity to get into a whole other sport and I was able to then continue to be a professional triathlete for several years. So asking your athletes you know, how can you, we use this as an opportunity or a gift? You know, using the word gift is great, too. You know, maybe this pandemic could be a real gift to you to reexamine your what you're doing. Think about your why, you know, your reason for competing, what it is that you want to do in the future. And, you know, we don't know when things are going to open up again, but let's say if, in the fall, if people are able to compete again, yeah, you want to be strong and be able to get even better at this, at your sport. So, and then being able to focus on the mental, physical fitness. One thing I wanted to mention is how you could reframe this as an opportunity for your athletes. You know, we can also look at this as an opportunity as sports psychology coaches and performing edge coaches to say, you know, you could tell, you know, say something on your, say a social media page or with your athletes, say, you know, you're an athlete maybe that can't work out right now or can't do your specific sport right now. You could say, you and I can talk and I can make sure that you stay sharp and do a custom visualization for you on a virtual workout. Because, for instance, with my with swimming or triathlete, with swimmers that can't swim in the pool, I asked her specifically what kind of workout would you be doing this week, and she gave me all the specifics, and then we went through a virtual workout with her, where not just a general one, but just exactly what she would be doing and what she wants would be working on. So created a custom. You can create a whole series of custom visualization exercises for each of your athletes or new athletes, people that you want to attract that. Say want to be able to stay sharp, and you can give them the scientific research showing that you know, when we're visualizing something, it's not just hocus pocus, it's not pie in the sky. This is there's a large body of research showing that when you visualize something, you are activating the neuromuscular systems and the muscles, the exact muscles that you use in doing that exercise. For instance, I've done biofeedback and put sensors on, say, for a kayaker, put sensors on their biceps and then have them visualize doing their sport, doing kayaking, and you can see those exact muscles are being activated there. So you're actually helping the athlete to stay focused and stay mentally sharp. Of course, you need to do some aerobic exercise, too, to supplement that. You can actually help athletes to really stay sharp when they can't do their specific sport. And they are building those neuromuscular systems in the brain. So that's one way that you could, you know, be helpful to athletes, current athletes or new ones that you could attract to be able to have them be able to continue to be sharp. So so that's one other thing I wanted to mention to you. So, yeah, I just wanted to open it up for questions or comments that you have based on what we've talked about so far. Or things that you, what are your thoughts about how to, what you could, you know, offer or continue to offer to your athletes or to new athletes that you maybe want to work with? Anyone can jump in?
You know, Dr. Joanne, I really liked your thoughts. In fact, I now have next week's note that I want to send out to the coaches, but I really liked your ideas on highlighting eating and sleeping. I know that some of our coaches have tried to do that, but it wouldn't hurt to reinforce what they're trying to do. I like the idea of reminding our athletes that try to find a routine that you were doing prior to all of this and try to stay as close as you can to that. And then focusing on continuing to try to focus attention and concentration. And I like George's idea about reframing. That is so important, and it reminded me of when I worked with some high school track or gymnastics people that they hated the vault. They hated it. And I read an article right before that about maybe try to change the word hate to love and watch what happens. And, of course, these high school girls had just almost a heart attack when I told them that. But they worked on it and actually started talking about how much they loved the vault. And the coach called me a couple of weeks after one of their big events and said they weren't the greatest, but they improved dramatically just by changing and reframing words. So I really like those ideas, and I appreciate them very much.
Yeah, good. The vault, you mean in gymnastics?
Yes, yeah, they hated the vault. In fact, there was one poor girl would just run like crazy, and then just you could see it right before she got to the vault and to hit the little jump thing, she would stutter step and just full body blast right into the side of it. And it would almost knock her out, and then all the girls would come running around her, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, come on. And she would do it again, and the same thing would happen. So, it was hard to watch, but I must say, looking back, I mean, the poor girls were really trying to support each other, but it just boiled down to trying to change and reframing, like George said, trying to change that whole self-talk that you can do it. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, good. It's good to say I can do this, or how can I do this differently, or how can I do this better?
Exactly.
And what's a new way of thinking about this and asking yourself those questions get out of that, we used to call it thinking.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I have questions that I talk about instead of negative questions that we usually ask ourselves, like, just start with why. Any questions start with why usually go down a depressing course of why does this always happen to me, or why is it so difficult? You know, why did this pandemic have to happen right before my important something trials? And then if we ask those questions, then your left brain just kind of goes off and says, well, because you're an idiot there, because you're always, you attract bad luck, and you're a loser.
Exactly.
Your left brain beats us up. But if you ask the other kind, I call them positive action questions, like, what's good about this situation? I know that's really a challenging one, but ask your athletes that. What's good about this situation, and you can always find something good. You just have to think about it. Okay, what's good about this? Like you were saying, George, maybe it's an opportunity that you can work on things so that when things do open up, you're going to be even stronger than the other athletes have slacked off. So what's good about this situation? Second question is, how can I use this to my advantage? Same kind of thing, but how specifically can I use this to my advantage? When you phrase it that way questions start with what or how, then your mind goes to more positive action, to moving forward. So how can I use this to my advantage? And then, maybe have them, your athletes look three specific ways. they can work on the mental part or work on whatever it is that they can work on, use it to my advantage, because they might imagine that the other athletes are not doing this, not doing those special things. And then you could, the third question is, what can I learn from this? What's the learning here? So that's a really good one to have to ask your athletes and yourself, all of us too, say, what can I learn from this? And we, in this pandemic, it's something none of us have ever experienced before. We are all learning every day how to deal with things. So there's so much learning going on. And talk about how I can learn, maybe athletes can learn how to reframe things, like we're saying, how to put it in a positive, how to really focus on what I need to do, what the things I can control, and then have them list the things they can control, your attitude, your effort level, your sleep. And then ask another question is, how can I keep moving forward? What steps, what resources do I need to keep moving forward? So those are good questions. I'll include those in my notes to you, too. So you can, those would be good homework questions to ask your athletes during this time. So thank you. Yeah, thanks, Dr. Tom. And how about or George or Matt, your comments or questions that you have about what we've just been talking about?
Yeah, Matt here. Well, of course, I agree with everything that you guys are discussing, saying, but I was just thinking about some of the flip side of that, just looking at myself as a coach. I think I've started to realize that there may have been a little bit too much hand-holding at times with my athletes, especially the ones that I work with in person. And so just looking at programming, for example, where I've had athletes that have not really been following their program the way that I intended for them to. They didn't necessarily understand the benefits that they would get because they were doing, say, body weight training and calisthenics, and they thought they were beyond doing some of those types of movements. And so I've gotten into that whole conversation with sort of the Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid kind of approach to things, that we have to the best go back to the basics and do them very, very well. And we can, for example, start to really slow our tempo down and really control our breathing and own our breathing at, say, the midpoint of a single leg pistol squat. Even if you are one of my athletes that can deadlift 400 plus pounds, that can still be difficult to hold an airplane position or a Nordic hold and breathe in that position. So things like that came to realize that my athletes needed some education and start to own what they can do. And so what you're talking about with the neuromuscular facilitation, we had a discussion, and then I sent them an article, and it had to do with that POW, that prisoner, I think that you were talking about at one time, Joanne, that had envisioned himself doing the same course over and over again, golf course when he was a POW, and then finally got his freedom and then shot a PR on the course within the first week that he was back in the States. And so, we started talking a lot more about those aspects, and I started having them do reports on what they can do now. So we kind of call them our learning logs, but they send their learning logs into me, just discussing what they've been doing. And then we share that with the other athletes, especially if I do highlights, and then I'll send out in a group text of some of the highlights that I really liked from the learning logs, and then all the athletes can sort of benefit from that a little bit more. And and then other than that, I would just say that for myself, it's brought me back to the basics. We have a newsletter that we have. It's free, like anybody. You guys are interested, you can go to my website and you sign in, and you basically get a newsletter from us every month. But we started talking a lot more about what type of things are going on. For example, people are starting to really snack a lot more and start to gain weight that they, we'll just say unwanted weight, right? Non-relative weight gain, things like that. And so it's just because they're bored and they're snacking more. And so we just talked about some answers for that, both mental and physical. And then just looking into, again, like I love that you brought up the suspension system, the TRX system, Joanne, because I actually just wrote an article for CNBC about that top five pieces of equipment you can have in your garage. And I chose the suspension trainer as one of the tools, which can also be replaced by a couple dog leashes if you don't have a suspension trainer and a decent anchor. So, or say a I use the analogy of get a bike tube. Most people have an old bike in their garage, and, you grab the bike tube, and you can use that as a reactive band if you don't have one already, because most of the gym equipment is just sold out these days. So it was more about like, what do you have around the garage you could actually use at home and things like that. So it's just, I think it's bringing us all back to the basics. And in my podcast, I've gotten so many questions about what it is that people can do as families. So we've been answering a lot of those emails, and it's been really great because my wife had never been on the podcast before. And I said, people really want to hear how we do this as a family and the female perspective. And she was resilient to it, but she did it because she wants to help too. And then she got so much good feedback. Now she's like a podcaster. Like, she wants to podcast every single time. And I can't even kick her off. So it's been kind of cool in a lot of different senses. So hopefully I didn't ramble too much. I tend to do that, but that's kind of my summary of that.
Well, thanks, Matt. Yeah. Great. Yeah. It's just nice to hear. Yeah. Just looking at what you can, because some people can't afford a TRX suspension trainer, but they could, get that a couple dog leashes, a couple of straps, and hook them up, and then that old bike tube, those kind of things. If you don't have weights at home, fill up two jugs of water, kind of thing on each side, and you can use those as small weights, that you could do. So simple things like that are great. Yeah, and your stairs, everybody's got stairs somewhere, so instead of doing the Stairmaster at the gym, you could just do stairs outside, up and down, that kind of thing. So great, yeah. And George, are you still there? Any comments or questions from what we've been talking about?
Yeah, all very good conversation, and obviously most people here have a little bit more experience with all this than me, so it's always nice to hear, how other people are doing things and their routines and their thoughts on some stuff. Matt, if you don't mind, you mentioned going to your podcast or looking at some things. I only know your first name.
Do you mind, Dr. Dilkotter? I don't want to assume it's okay to... It's all free, though. It's nothing. And actually, during this epidemic, I even made the training programs. We even made free training programs for anybody who wants it. So you can also sign up for that stuff on our website. So nothing does cost anything. But it's www.pendola.com.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thanks, Matt. That's great. Yeah. And it's good to always have resources for each other here. Yeah. And George, did you have any other comments or nuggets?
Well, so I apologize if I just heard you mention that. I just kind of perked my curiosity.
Sure.
So, again, and being the last one to go, there's, obviously a lot has already been said. I did like the conversation, just a reminder on a lot of things, anxiety feeds on certainty, focus on what you can control, and obviously being, some form of inspiration or positive focus for your athletes. I did like what Matt talked about, maybe too much hand-holding. I do think that there's a tendency, and I don't work with a lot of people, that you kind of feel like you're going to get in there and almost guide them too much. And as a result, I think sometimes you don't allow them the ability to develop the tools that they need or the skills that they need to be able to do it successfully themselves. So that's a good reminder to maybe not get in and, do too much guiding, just enough that you allow them to develop the tools and skills. I think there was a lot of talk with all this that's going on about short-term adapting related to long-term goals. So I did like that, and how those, basically to stay focused on, what your objective is or what it is that you're trying to accomplish and being able to use this time rather than consider it a setback and think of it negatively, is to turn around and use positive self-talk, keep a routine, and challenge yourself to stay inspired and motivated and realize that this is an opportunity Often, you can use this time as an opportunity rather than focus on the setback or the withdrawal. And if you use the time correctly, that, it might give you, an advantage over, some of your competition or your peers that you might be competing with. That there was some talk on the emotional effects of change and how everybody handles with it, getting, kind of some routine to, now there's a lot of downtime, and Matt was talking about, people with the downtime snacking a little bit too much and maybe gaining bad weight, and that's one way of trying to deal with the stress and anxiety. So trying to give people other tools to deal with the stress, the anxiety, and the lack of, the disruption to the routine. We talked about, a hobby and some other stuff, so I like that. And, just resetting, goals and that, making them, resetting them in the sense that things are different now, and using, trying to find unique ways to be able to accomplish the same thing. So the home gym, the TRX suspension trainer, some of these other things are all great ideas, and I appreciate, from everybody on that.
Okay, great. Yeah, you're a really good summarizer of things that we talked about. That's good. So thank you, George and Dr. Tom and Matt. Great discussion with all of you, and then there's other people on, I think, listening who are traveling but just on mute that couldn't join us. So thanks to all of you for a great discussion, and it's good to just put our minds together here and give lots of tips and questions. You can always, for our next call, if you have questions, you can email me, and then I'll answer them on our next PECI call here too. So, we'll have normally, these calls are always the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so May 14th and 28th. Since there is a fifth Thursday in this month, next week on the 30th. I'll send out an email, but I'll probably do a call then too, so that we can address some other issues here and keep contact. So that's great, and encourage you all to keep sending in your assignments to me for the modules here toward your certification. That'll be great. Now, give you feedback, and I'll have the replay up from this call today shortly, and I'll send you the notes as well. So, thanks everyone for a great discussion, and we can really help motivate all of us to keep moving forward here, because we have, just keep remembering that we have so much to offer. You all have so much to offer your clients, and that's one thing you can visualize is visualize that there are people out there, athletes that really need you right now and that are wanting your services. So that can be a way to motivate yourself to keep moving, to keep continue doing reading and to continue doing our modules here to keep learning, as well as reaching out to people. And start thinking of, okay, how can I better serve my athletes? How can I? And also, you can ask them questions about what can I do to better serve them during this time. Ask them for feedback. What do you ask your athletes? What do you need right now? So great. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining
us.
And thanks, Al. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
This is 30th. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay, bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.